This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Today on With the First Pick, the RV has made its way to Chapel Hill, Rick. It was rainy when we got here, and the sun seems to follow you wherever you are. Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Drake May just finished throwing 10 feet that way. And let's start with the quarterbacks like we always do. Pro day completed for UNC. Most of the work is done for Drake May. We'll have some 30 visits, some private visits, no doubt about that. But I think a large part of that's over for him. What'd you take away from Drake May, who came in at 6'4", 227, gained about 3 or 4 pounds from the combine. Yesterday, 6'3 and a half for Jaden Daniels, 210, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What do you got with what do you think about?
I thought he had a great workout. It was a lot more scripted as far as doing some drop back, some play action. We've seen him down in the red zone, make some throws in the red zone. They had a scripted area for just red zone type throws.
Let me ask you about that, by the way, because this is my fifth or sixth combine with the first pick here on the old bus tour. That was the first time I've seen separate red zone. Is that atypical or is that pretty common?
No, I think we've seen a couple of them last year if you were paying attention.
I must have fallen asleep. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry. So he threw what felt like a good number of throws from his own 40 and then did a red zone.
Yeah.
And this was a lot more, I think, detailed in what scouts wanted to see that we saw yesterday with Jaden's scripted throws. You've seen him play action. You've seen him have to move outside the pocket. You've seen him drop back. You've seen him have to do some throws that were off schedule where he had to torque his body. There's no question about his arm talent. He's going to be able to make every NFL level throw that he's going to need to be made.
Better arm than Jaden?
I think right now when I saw in the beginning, he did miss a couple of throws that were at the intermediate level between 10 and 20 yards on those deep out routes. A couple of them sailed over the receivers. But once he settled down a little bit, then he got into a rhythm and then he hit everything. I thought comparing both of them have more than enough arm talent to play at the NFL. I think he was a better deep ball thrower from an accuracy standpoint.
Felt like it, yeah.
That we saw today than what we saw from Jaden yesterday. So I think it's going to be really neck and neck on which one goes 2-3 after Caleb Williams. I think a lot of it's going to depend on all the things that we're not going to know about, the meetings, background checks, the medicals, the intelligence scores. So all that will come into play on how teams are going to decide to go with either Jaden or with Drake.
By the way, if you saw yesterday's podcast from LSU, you will have noticed that Debo instructed us to back up so we could both fit into the frame. And Rick didn't take his steroid dose today, so at least your shorts are a little narrower.
I'm turned to the side.
You're turned to the side.
Yeah. Like
by the end, I was like that. So a couple things about Drake May. I thought it was interesting that they had him throw some off-platform stuff because I thought he spent most of his life in the fall running for his life. But I get why you would do that. And you mentioned a couple of the inaccurate throws early on in the session on the intermediate outs. I was standing on the sideline of one of those outs, and I flinched, and a couple of scouts started laughing at me. So from then on, I didn't move.
Because that's the number one rule with the pro days. Do not flinch. Act like you've been to all these years and years of pro days when you want to cover these.
Yeah, I had to act like I'd been there before because from then on out,
I apparently didn't. You didn't.
Well, I was willing to take one for the team on a couple other throws. So there's some great catches by Tez Walker. Bo Corrales is one of my new favorite players. He's working out here today. He played back with the Sam Howell, Javonte Williams, UNC teams, and then moved to Texas State. But in terms of what we saw from Jake, perhaps the low point for him was when we saw him getting weighed and measured, and he looked like he was 12 years old. Everything else, it checked every box in terms of what you're looking for a franchise quarterback. And you can't help the fact that he has a baby face.
Well, who cares? I mean, can he throw the ball? Can he win games? Could he potentially get us to the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
so
I get
cares?
It.
I mean, who cares?
That's what you want your downside to be, that the fact that someone thinks you look like you're not enough to shave.
Are we going that deep into this evaluation now that you want to judge a guy off of what he looks like?
Well, body type matters. So that's the first rule of scouting, Rick.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
No, it's great.
But let me ask you this, though. I did mention this to you when he weighed 227. He doesn't look 17 pounds heavier than Jaden to me. Does he look that much thicker?
I think he's a little thicker, both of them. And I was impressed with Jane Daniels' lower body. He's just really lean up top. And then, but I don't want my quarterback to look like Johnny Atlas or like a linebacker.
Will Levis.
Or Will Levis. I want him to be loose, and he had more than enough body development in the upper, but he's so much more flexible. And when you see these off-schedule throws, and you see how they fork their body, do this and do that, they're not tight. And guys that are really developed through their chest and through their shoulders, that you can see, and we saw that in Will Levis last year, how tight he looked when he had to do some of the rollouts and some of the off-schedule throws that we saw.
Exactly. And there was no such issue with either Jaden or Drake. They both looked like top five draft picks. There was nothing that I saw. Even the overthrows yesterday from Jaden didn't really concern me because I saw him make those throws consistently in the ball. And then we saw the arm strength here, a little more consistent on the deep balls. And Drake was thrown to what felt like about 20 different wide receivers because, as you noted, there were some extra guys here from different schools working out. Let's touch briefly on Tez Walker, the 4.3 speed at the combine. Didn't play until later in the season because of the silly NCAA infractions. So that's another conversation. My first thoughts here were the ones that I sort of had confirmed in the fall and throughout the Senior Bowl sessions, that he straight line speed is legit. Hands are – he's not an easy catcher of the football, and I felt like his wiggle was a little stiff.
Yeah, he was better in routes than I thought I saw on the tape, so I'm going to disagree with you there.
Okay.
I do see the deep speed. There's no question about that. I thought he caught the ball well, but when you're at these pro days and when you hear the ball hit – Malik Nabers hands or Brian Thomas Jr.'s hands.
Yeah,
and then you hear the ball hit Tez Walker's hands. You hear where the other ones sound like they're throwing into pillows, where it's real soft and you can't even hear the ball hit their hands.
Right.
I think the other thing that kind of stuck out to me, there was no question about the speed. He did track the deep ball very well today, but he's more of a body catcher. So everything's in tight here where you see Malik Nabers and you see Brian Thomas Jr., you see him doing this and you see him doing that. Because he may not be as natural of a hands catcher. So those type of guys are always going to try to body catch it and catch it close to their body when they can.
So I'll ask you this, because I was talking to some scouts about where they saw Tez Walker, and they think day three sounds like the landing spot. You think possibly earlier than that?
No, I think he's a day three guy. I think fourth, fifth round.
Okay. Well, then we agree. You don't agree with my scouting report, but you agree?
No, I don't agree with anything else.
You agree with the landing spot. All right. Well, let's ask the old question that I asked you about 23 hours ago. Who's your number two quarterback right now, Rick?
Yeah. Well, going into this, I'm going back and forth between Jaden Daniels. I'm going to probably go over Easter weekend here. Happy Easter to everybody. And I'm going to contemplate that.
That's what you're going to contemplate over Easter?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure I'll be doing that. But right now, I'm leaning really towards Drake over Jaden right now.
All right. It lasted 23 hours, Debo. All right. Let me throw some things by you that I heard from both inside the facility and from league sources. I'll call them. I was talking about this earlier. I got a text that said, "You're crazy if you think Jaden's going before Drake." What is your response to that? During this pro day, I got that text.
Yeah, well, that's just what I said, didn't I?
Yeah, momentarily, but you flip flopped. So I'm not sure. Are you still on that?
No,
it's not crazy to say that Jaden could go first.
I do believe that Drake will go first.
Okay,
we watched them back to back.
Okay. Here's the other thing. What about, and we talked about this yesterday, and you and I talked about it in our Planes, Trains, and Automobiles to get here. That's another story for another podcast. But the leadership aspect of Drake and Jaden, and one of the things I heard is that on Jaden's last throw yesterday to Brian Thomas Jr., that rolled out end zone bomb that Brian Thomas Jr. caught, it felt almost forced.
Forced. Yeah.
I didn't see it that way, but I know that we're looking at every single detail, and compare that to what we saw with Drake. He watched all his teammates go through the 40 and warm up and do their thing. So they were both front and center. Should we read anything more than that?
I think we're overreading things right now. We're trying to get into it because when he ran down there, Jaden ran down there in the end zone, and Malik was down there, and Brian Thomas Jr. was down there. You saw him do a little chest bump thing.
Oh, maybe we call that the JPJ.
And it didn't look
the Jackson Power Johnson steal an ACL one.
Didn't look as authentic to you.
Okay.
Here, I thought, you know, all the receivers and everybody came up and slapped Drake on the, you know, the high fives and everything else after the workout. But I think we get too much and read too much into it. What you really want to know is not the scripted stuff, or this, if it's scripted, forced leadership or forced enthusiasm or whatever it is. I think that you're going to find out when you talk to the coaches and you talk to some sources behind the scenes that the scouts would have that will tell you what exactly their leadership is. And then when they do all these different types of testing, that you can find and kind of get an indication of that too. And there's ways when you go through the interview process that you can kind of identify some things if this guy's a leader or not.
Yeah. You ask him what the shoe size is and disagree with him, which is a report in The Athletic about Bo Nix and Sean Payton, which is sort of funny. The other thing I'll mention from the source, and I'll get your response on this, is that Jaden maybe is too quiet to be a leader, and Drake May, while quiet, has a background in leadership because his family's success. His brother, of course, played at UNC, won a national title with the basketball team. His family has a lot of high-level athletes. What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, I think we're overanalyzing. Okay.
28 days till the draft.
Teddy Bridgewater was one of the best leaders I've ever been around. I've seen guys gravitate to him, and he didn't say boo. but he knew how to communicate with the players and communicate within the locker room in a lot of different ways. It doesn't mean you have to be a yeller and screamer or this or that to be a great leader. There's a lot of different types of leadership that end up having success in the NFL.
And by the way, again, if you throw touchdowns, it doesn't really matter how you act.
And win games,
of course. Yeah, because I say all the time, Des Ritter, when we had him on the set of the combine, I wanted to run through a wall for him. But the issues were the issues, and unfortunately, it hasn't worked out for him yet. Maybe it will. All right, let's do a little checklist of who we saw here. Denver and Washington had their general managers. Washington also had their head coach here. New England had everybody here from the GM to some front office guys. I saw Alex Van Pelt here as well, the offensive coordinator. I saw Arthur Smith, the new Pittsburgh offensive coordinator. I saw some Chicago offensive staff here. I didn't see head coach Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles. But here's the other thing. Earlier today, some guy named Michael Penix Jr. had his pro day 3,000 miles that way. There we go. About to follow the sun. I thought it was a Mars for a second. And oddly enough, the pro day went off before our pro day, even though they're on the West Coast. And the reports are between 4.47 40 time for Michael Penix Jr., according to Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox, and 4.51 to 4.57, which is what Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl director, tweeted out. Either way, that is cruising. That would have been the fastest time for all the quarterbacks who worked out anywhere. Maybe Keaton Slovis, which is pretty funny to say out loud. But my point is this. Michael Penix Jr., every time the ball was rolled out, he picked it up. He ran at his pro day. He threw at the combine. He played in the Senior Bowl. Is he a first-round pick?
Yes. No question in my mind he'll be a first-round pick.
So he's done everything, and everything he's checked the box, and some things he's checked it in marker, and other things like the workout of the Senior Bowl, which was average. It was
but
fine.
He competed.
He competed. He checked in pencil. I don't think that you downgrade him for that.
If a guy goes in there and competes, he can see some of them, but you're not going to downgrade him from what you did on the tape.
Well, I mean, he's out there. Well, Tez Walker, did you downgrade him after the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, well, there was concerns with his hands.
Right.
You're not going to, like, I don't think he was a first or second rounder to begin with.
Okay.
He was always a Saturday, maybe sneak into Friday, but always a Saturday talent.
Right. So if he went to the Senior Bowl and just set it on fire.
Yeah, maybe then, he says, okay, he can get into the end of the third.
Right.
But with all the drops, yeah, maybe it dropped him around.
But Michael Penix Jr., this is how you want to see kids go through the process.
He's an excellent competitor. There's no question about his leadership. We had him on the set.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid. So he wants to showcase himself. And I think he is really trying to prove to everyone in the NFL that, hey, don't forget about me. I know you're talking about the big three, and then you're talking about J.J. McCarthy, who is coming up through the ranks and really has risen over this pre-draft process. But look at what I'm doing.
Yep.
You go out there and run what you've done and do everything you've done through the pre-draft process. this kid tells you everything on leadership, competitiveness, and how big of a chance he has to be a very successful quarterback in the NFL.
Let's say you're picking in the middle of the first round between picks 11 and 15. Are you trading up to 5 or 6 for J.J. McCarthy or staying put and hope?
I think those are going to be interesting conversations in the draft rooms.
Well, we're in the first big podcast draft room right now. You're not going to answer it yet?
Well, can we get everything together? Can we have a meeting? I mean, you want instant. I say something, it's like you hold me to it for the rest of my life. True.
We were in the car for 4 hours yesterday talking about alligators with our Uber driver. We didn't get a chance to discuss our draft board. We didn't want to spill any secrets to outside of the podcast family. Anything else we took away from the pro day? We saw Tez Walker run the routes. He didn't run the times because he did so well at the combine. Drake May exceeded my expectations, but I expect him to do exactly what he did. He's a quiet.
Let me ask you this. You always had Jaden Daniels ahead of Drake May. Do you still say that?
Yeah, but it's close. And here's the thing. It's close. I haven't always had them closely rated, but today I feel a lot better about Drake. And I think the other thing to keep in mind, I have to remind myself of this, and I say it frequently, because Justin Herbert, I was wrong about that because his last season wasn't great and the offense didn't fit him. The other thing is Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix have played a combined 400 years in college football. Drake has played 2 years. He was behind Sam Howell. So he's got a lot of room to grow as well. And he has all the tools that you always talk about, the athletic tools and the measurables. And he has a good head on his shoulders. Head coach Mack Brown did the introduction there. He said, all these kids are squeaky clean, so we don't have to worry about any of the background stuff with that. So, yeah, I mean, there's certainly room for growth. The other thing I take away from that is I wouldn't call Jaden a one-year wonder, which is, you know, a phrase you use for sometimes when we're talking about these players. But the growth he's shown, we've seen it. So that's the other thing. It's less concern, but the higher upside. Is there higher upside with Drake? Because Jaden's upside feels pretty high.
Yeah. No, I think he'll continue to get better. Yeah. But I think Drake has his ceiling is higher than Jaden's right now.
Okay. I'm not going to push back on that. I come around and I've been stubborn about Drake, but I wanted to make sure that I didn't, cancel him as the word you like to use to stay are. So I kept him as a top five guy. I feel good about him. And I'll mention this. So one of the reports floating around the internet is that the Patriots are interested in moving down. They're listening to offers, whatever you want to call it. And you said this last year about the Texans, and you say this year about would you trade down under any circumstances?
They have to get a quarterback. I know they signed Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
But we don't know yet what's going to happen in next year's draft. And you don't know if you're going to get another shot picking in the top three. And you have three quarterbacks like this. So you just don't know how you pass up an opportunity to get a franchise quarterback. If you believe one of these guys is going to be the franchise quarterback, but if not, then when?
Yeah, right. They were all here today, the Patriots contingent, and we saw them yesterday at LSU. I was talking to one of the Patriots guys I know. He said, "How was your travels here?" I said, "We got here around midnight because we got here about half a day before you did."
Yes.
So they were on the way to the first stick private jet, apparently. So there are some benefits to being in the league other than all the other benefits you have. All right. I think that's it. Anything else you want to talk about? We talked about who we saw here. We talked about the players that matter. Cedric Gray, the linebacker, he went through the drills. He didn't run here because he ran at the combine. He had a 4.64 at the combine, I believe. Miles Murphy also did the drills here. We're missing them because they're going through those drills right now. They let the quarterback go first because it's so much later in the day than usual pro days. So all the teams can get out of there on their private jets. Rick has to catch a flight. One other thing I wanted to mention, and I wrote this down in the middle of Drake May's session where there were a few drops and he looked like not necessarily pressing, but he threw a slant to Tez that was behind him. Tez dropped it, whatever it happens. But I heard some NFL folks say there's so much tension in this room right now. And someone else said, and this is a good point, turn some music on. Because yesterday there was music. There's always music. It was it was like a library in there. And I didn't feel like it was tense. I just thought they were having a practice. But does that make a difference, you think?
No. You are trying to find so many things.
I didn't. These were NFL guys. Yeah. I just wrote it down.
Yeah, but they have music in practice. Just tell me if the guy can throw the ball, throw it with accuracy, throw it with punch and velocity, and help us win a Super Bowl.
Okay, Drake May can throw with accuracy. He can throw with touch. He's got a good arm strength. He can help win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
May feel better?
Yeah, there. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, I got to ask you, though.
What?
Since you're the general manager of the show and I'm just a scout in the corner, you have to make a decision for the Washington Commanders.
At two.
And you have to take one of these two quarterbacks to the scene.
All right, we have Cliff Kingsbury. Here's what I'm going to say. If you're Dan Quinn, Who do you have a tougher time defending?
Okay, that who's going to run the offense?
No, I know that.
I understand. But when Daniels is because he can run better than him.
So,
but are you saying that because Aaron Rodgers can't run as well as Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers in his day wasn't, you're not afraid to play him either?
I'm just trying to see who am I more afraid to play. And I think I'm more afraid to play Jaden Daniels.
So you'd be more afraid to play Lamar Jackson than Aaron Rodgers in his prime.
It's close. I mean, is it like, is one, if it's the playoffs, then definitely, although Aaron Rodgers struggled in the playoffs too.
he won a Super Bowl.
He did win a Super Bowl. Yeah. All right. Lamar is in the playoffs. That's a different story. I'm going to lean Jaden, though. I'm going to lean Jaden. Who are you going to take?
No, you're the boss. I'm just sitting here laughing in the corner.
I see the owner if they're going to go yell at him and tell him what I said. Okay, I think that's it. I was doing the math. I should take you to the airport now after you trying to get me fired. All right, I think we've done
it. Well, we got to give our preview for next week. Next week on Tuesday, we're going to do the rest of the defensive linemen
with Lee Jay.
Linebackers with the Deuce coming in. Wednesday, we're going to be live on CBS Network.
2 p.m. Eastern.
2 p.m. Eastern. And then Thursday, BMAC is coming back for an appearance to do the secondary. We're going to do the top five safeties and the top five corners. So there's a lot that we have to get through, just like all these other teams do. Between now and the draft, so much more to coverage, and I'm looking forward to some of those conversations coming up before we make our final decisions.
And this is the Scout in the Corner making his move. You're seeing it here live on With the First Pick. That's it. That's a wrap from Chapel Hill, lovely Carolina practice facility right behind us. Yesterday we were at LSU. If you missed that podcast, check that out. Rick, by the way, is the scenic director, so you can thank him for all the great shots we're getting and for all the behind-the-scenes stuff. So for Mr. Spielman, I'm Ryan Wilson. Thanks to Debo for producing. Thanks to all you guys who watch, listen, and comment. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday, I think, Rick.
Yep.
Happy Easter.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!